Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday. I'm sitting here in my brand new basement. I think you guys know that there was a septic incident just before Christmas, and carpet had to be taken out and portions of walls taken out. But the last couple of weeks, there's been some construction going on, and everything's new down here. And we've moved back downstairs. I'm back in my office, and it's very, very nice. And Cheryl, we hung the yogini today. We hadn't hung her yet because the basement was in such disarray. But she is now hung. It's nice to be down here. I like it. Probably the first thing I want to say is that I will not be here next Sunday night because I'll be on vacation. It's Jasmine's spring break, and we are going to, what's the name of that place I'm going? It's in Colorado, Durango, Colorado, for a few days, and then we're going to Moab, Utah for a few days. So I will not be here next Sunday night, but Dove, I will send you an email. Another thing that I want to say is that this coming Tuesday, which is March 20th, at 12 noon Eastern Time, I'm going to be interviewed by John Troy and Tripp Overholt. On the radio. Now, I do radio interviews from time to time, so I don't usually mention them. I mean, I might make a post on Facebook or something, but I don't take the time to mention them. But for some reason, John Troy and Tripp Overholt are very dear to my heart. In fact, I went to North Carolina to meet John Troy last November, and I sat in the radio station with them while they interviewed someone else. They're very dear to me. I'm not quite sure why. They just are. So I'm looking forward to spending time with them for an hour. Dove says they will play it here in ACIM Gather, or you can go to thewizardllc.com and you can listen to it there. So again, it's this coming Tuesday, March 20th at 12 noon Eastern Time. We're here now for the seven steps to awakening, and we are going to begin with quote 105. I'm going to give you a link to the journal entry for number 105. But of course, before we get started, we want to take a moment of silence. So first I'm going to take a sip of tea. All right, let's go into a moment of silence. Amen. All right. So, as I mentioned, I am going to start with quote 105. If you have the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, you want to open up to page 32. Now, quote 105 is a little longer than some of the others. This is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, but it's a bit of a conversation. There's a questioner and then his answer. So here is the questioner. How can I break through the barrier and know personally, intimately, what it means to be immutable? And here is Sri Nisargadatta's answer. The word itself is the bridge. The word itself is the bridge. Remember it. Think of it. Explore it. Go round it. Look at it from all directions. Drive into it with earnest perseverance. Endure all delays and disappointments till suddenly the mind turns round, away from the world, towards the reality beyond the world. It is like trying to find a person knowing his name only. A day comes when your inquiries bring you to him, and the name becomes reality. Words are valuable, for between the word and its meaning, there is a link. And if one investigates the word assiduously, one crosses beyond the concept into the experience at the root of it. As a matter of fact, such repeated attempts to go beyond the words is what is called meditation. Now, one thing that's particularly interesting about that quote is, at least as I read it, is he's really describing the practice of the seven steps to awakening. Because the practice of the seven steps to awakening is to use the words and really contemplation of the words to ready yourself for awakening, to soften yourself for grace, to allow yourself to be pulled in the direction of awakening. So it's funny because it is a lot of focus on words, but at the same time it isn't, because we're not asked to memorize the quotes that are in the book. We're asked to contemplate the quotes that are in the book and then allow our own understanding or our own wisdom, which is inspired by the quote, to come through. Which means we're really looking for a deeper understanding. You could call it a personal understanding. One thing I kind of giggled at, I don't know if I did it inside or outside, but I giggled at as I was reading this, was Sri Nisargadatta said, remember it, meaning the word. He said the word itself is a bridge. Remember it, think of it, and then he said explore it, go round it, look at it from all directions. One thing that Cheryl Valentine and I have both mentioned is that one thing that we find ourselves doing as we're working with the Seven Steps to Awakening is looking up words in the dictionary. It's funny because we're not looking up the words because we don't know the definition or we don't think we know the definition, but something is prompting us to look up words. I look up, 3, 4, 5 words every day when I'm working with the Seven Steps. But it's kind of like what he's saying here. Remember the word, think of it, and then he says explore it, go round it, look at it from all directions. It seems like every time I read the definitions of the word, the multiple definitions, somehow I do get a clearer understanding of what is being said. So, you know, we really are kind of using the words to go beyond the words. We're using the words to go into a deeper clarity. Why don't we look and see what I wrote in my journal? Let's see, we've had at least one more person enter the room, so here is another link to quote 105. And this is what I wrote in my journal. Investigation occurs with the mind. Contemplation occurs with the mind. Remembrance of present moment choice occurs with the mind. These are all useful practices of mind. Mind also desires the goal and judges progress. Mind creates the idea, I'm awakened, and I've slipped backwards. As if ever-present reality is hidden, changing, reachable to be gained and missable to be lost. These judgments of progress are meaningless. Do not regard them with attention and belief. Instead, stick with the useful practices of mind. Be diligent with these practices. The useful practices of mind are: number one, investigation; number two, contemplation; and number three, remembering present moment choice. And I would say that these are definitely my primary three practices now. There's just no doubt about that. But I don't know if I even have another practice. Doing a mantra, for example, has completely fallen away from me now that I'm doing the seven steps. I seem to be focused on these three practices. Investigation, another word for investigation, another word that might even be more popular because of Sri Ramana Maharshi, is inquiry, or some people say self-inquiry. But the inquiry goes, at least the inquiry as I'm being led through it, goes beyond inquiring into what is perceived as the self, because it also inquires into the nature of the world. And in fact, if you've been watching my journal where I'm at now, which is somewhere in the 300s, if you follow the journal, I don't know if you do, but if you follow the journal, and if you notice the postings that I'm making on a daily basis now, you'll notice there's a lot of inquiry going on. You know, one of the inquiries I did a few weeks ago was into the idea that I am born. Everybody in the world, for the most part, maybe a few enlightened exceptions, but most people, think they were born. They think their children was born. You know, my mother says, she knows I was born because she was there. But as I inquired into that idea that I was born, what I came to discover is that's actually just an assumption. It's not a fact. My mother had the experience of giving birth and saw a baby being born and assumed that I was born. But notice that's an assumption. She doesn't know for a fact that that was my beginning. She might go back further, like some people do, and assume conception was my beginning. But that, again, is an assumption that is not a fact. As we practice investigation or inquiry, we come to realize there are a lot of things that we have accepted as facts, which when looked at carefully and honestly, we don't know that they are facts. They are assumptions. And in fact, if you looked at the inquiry that I did this morning in my journal, this morning's inquiry kind of got to the point there was really only one fact that I could truly confirm. The one fact is I exist. But I find that I exist as this woman is questionable. And in fact, there are many reasonable questions that are asked in my present inquiry that is being posted. So I can reasonably question the belief that I'm a woman. But I cannot reasonably question the belief that there's a presence here that exists. So that is a fact. And this is really what inquiry or investigation does. It looks at things that we've accepted as facts, and it helps us separate the difference between beliefs and assumptions and fact. The second practice is contemplation. And that, of course, is a key practice in the seven steps, because that's just what we're doing. We're reading quotes, contemplating them until we begin to feel our own understanding coming through, and then we write our own understanding. But then we're asked to even contemplate that. We're not asked to write our own understanding and go on. We're asked to spend time contemplating our own understanding. We're asked to go back to previous quotes and previous things that we have written regarding the quotes and to continue to contemplate them. In fact, we're asked to read the Seven Steps to Awakening and what we've written about the Seven Steps to Awakening hundreds of times, all of which is contemplation. And then the third practice is remembering present moment choice. That's remembering that in this moment, always in this moment, I can choose my perception. I can choose where my attention is focused. I can choose what I want to believe and not believe. I can choose what I want to be attached to or detached from. There is always, in every single moment, a choice. So these three practices, although they all involve mind, are actually three practices that eventually end in the death of mind or going beyond mind. So again, I'll just read 105 one more time. And I notice my friend Omvati has entered the room, so I will paste the link one more time. Here's 105. Investigation occurs with the mind. Contemplation occurs with the mind. Remembrance of present moment choice occurs with the mind. These are all useful practices of mind. Mind also desires the goal, that would be enlightenment, and judges progress. Mind creates the idea, I'm awakened and I've slipped backwards, as if ever-present reality is hidden, changing, reachable to be gained and missable to be lost. These judgments of progress are meaningless. Do not regard them with attention and belief. Instead, stick with the useful practices of mind. Be diligent with these practices. Again, the useful practices of mind are, 1, investigation, also known as inquiry. 2, contemplation. And 3, remembering present moment choice. All right, you can scroll down in the journal, and when you get to the dark gray area, if you need to, scroll to the left. Just above it, you'll see where there's a 106. Click on 106. And before we read 106 in the journal, we're going to read 106 in the Seven Steps to Awakening. Again, this is on page 32, and we're reading from Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. He said, "Be careful. The moment you start talking, you create a verbal universe, a universe of words, ideas, concepts, and abstractions, interwoven and interdependent, most wonderfully generating, supporting, and explaining each other, and yet all without essence or substance, mere creations of the mind. Words create words. Reality is silent." I remember A Course in Miracles says something about, you know, if we seek controversy, we will find it. And of course, if we wanted to, we could see quote 105 and quote 106 as in conflict, because in quote 105, Sri Nisargadatta tells us that the word itself is the bridge to awakening, right? And he tells us to, you know, look at the words and explore them from all angles and go deeply into them. And in this quote, he ends by saying, "Words create words, reality is silent." But of course, if we see conflict there, it's because we're just looking at the words and we're not looking at the content. In 105, he is clearly speaking about go deep into the words, the spiritual quotes of masters. And he's talking about within yourself. Another person does not need to be involved in that. In fact, from my experience, it's best if another person isn't involved. If you're, you know, sitting back in your chair or on the floor, if that's where you sit, alone doing this. In 106, he's talking about everyday conversation. He's talking about when my friends and I get together and we begin talking about what's going on in our lives. He says, basically, as soon as we do that, we just dribble off into illusion. Listen again to what he says. He says, "Be careful. The moment you start talking, you create a verbal universe, a universe of words, ideas, concepts, and abstractions, interwoven and interdependent, most wonderfully generating, supporting, and explaining each other, and yet all without essence or substance. Mere creations of the mind. Words create words. Reality is silent. I would say that I do talk less now. You know, when friends come over to talk to me, last night a friend came by to talk, the majority of it on my part was listening. But I haven't stopped talking completely. In fact, still, although I don't want anybody in the present room feeling guilty, the people I fall into talking to the most are actually Jasmine and Danielle. And probably my guard is down a bit with them because I'm with them all the time, right? I mean, that's it. The other people I only see on occasion, so it's easier to be in that, I'm going to call it just a more protected place for right now, in that place of remembering that I don't want to get involved with conversation. But at home, there's a relaxed atmosphere, and I get into talking to Danielle and Jasmine. But what happens when I do that is I notice I'm wrong, like as soon as something comes out of my mouth. It's really kind of a, if I was in a place of judging myself, it would be a very miserable place to be, because I'll say something, and the second I'll say it, something in my head says, that's not true. You know, I'll be talking about, oh, I like this, or I don't like that, or I want that, or I don't want that. And it's just coming out of that being casual instead of being watchful. But as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I'll hear in my mind, that's not true. And there's this realization, which may eventually lead me to being even more still at home. There's this realization that it is true. That when we talk, we are making up the character of ourselves, and we are making up the character of the world. Again, be careful. The moment you start talking, you create a verbal universe. A universe of words, ideas, concepts, and abstractions, interwoven and interdependent, most wonderfully generating, supporting, and explaining each other, and yet all without essence or substance, mere creations of the mind. Words create words. Reality is silent. So let's look at what I wrote in the journal at number 106, and I am pasting the link. Oops, that's not 106, because I haven't ever copied that link. Let me delete that before I give it to you, and I will get 106 for you. One moment. All right, here is 106, and let's look at what I wrote. The chatty universe is ego's universe. When the purpose is to disengage from ego, it is helpful to remain silent. Watch for opportunities to choose silence over talking, and make that choice as an inner commitment to know and experience reality. And like I said, I've actually become pretty good, very good maybe, at making that choice with, you know, my friends in town, you know, like Ruby and Donna and Tom and Jacqueline and Kathy. You know, when I'm with them, I'm not chatty like I was before. I do a lot of listening and very little talking. At home, it's more like I do the talking, but I notice as I'm doing the talking that it's just all not true. And so assuming willingness always leads in the direction of where our action is going to follow. And assuming also that noticing that it's not true is going to mature into just not saying it in the first place, then eventually I would expect to also be more quiet at home. So number 106, the chatty universe is ego's universe. When the purpose is to disengage from ego, it is helpful to remain silent. Watch for opportunities to choose silence over talking, and make that choice as an inner commitment to know and experience reality. All right, we can scroll down to just above the gray area, and on the left, click on number 107. And I will post that link in the room. And number 107 in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. Again, this is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Once you are beyond the person, you need no words. Once you are beyond the person, you need no words. There's something in NTI Revelation. I don't remember the exact quote, but it's the idea of awakening. And then it says, there will be no words unless they are given. It's very similar to this idea. Once you are beyond the person, you need no words. And NTI Revelation says, there will be no words unless they are given. Let's look at number 107 in the... Oh yeah, A Course in Miracles. Maria's quoting, God is and we cease to speak. So there we have it again. Okay, so let's look at number 107 in the journal. The person is the character. Words are script. If there is belief that I am the person, there is engagement in the script, in the word thoughts. And there is attachment to expressing the character as if it is real, as if it is who I am and what must be lived. When I see I am not the person, there is no attachment to the script. There is no urge to express it. It is seen as unreal and not important. So my experience with me in this moment is that I am somewhere between these two paragraphs. The first paragraph is, of course, referring to the one who believes very strongly, I'm this person. And so therefore, if you are wearing your shoes in my house, which, by the way, my house doesn't have a shoe rule. I'm just making up an example. If you ever come to my house, I don't want you to get paranoid. But, you know, let's assume I have a shoe rule. Let's pretend. And you're wearing shoes in my house. And to me, it's very important that people do not wear shoes in my house. And so I have to tell you to go take off the shoes. And then you come back another time and you wear your shoes again, and I have to tell you. And after three or four times, I'm now losing patience with you because I have definitely told you that we do not wear shoes in the house, and yet you're continuing to wear shoes. This acting out of what I need, of who I am, of what I believe, of what is important, that's being the character instead of myself. And of course, we all do this all of the time. In the second paragraph, this is referring to one who has seen I'm not the person. So therefore, one has no attachment to the script. What that means is the thought may still cross the mind somehow. Oops, that person has on shoes. They shouldn't. But there is no attachment to that thought as if it has any meaning or matters at all. Therefore, it is not spoken. It's not acted out with emotion, with frustration, with judgment. It has no power. And like I said, right now, in my current progress, I guess I'll say, for lack of better words, I feel like I'm somewhere in the middle. I am definitely not fully attached to the character. I see hundreds of thoughts a day that do not stick, that just, I see them, but they have no meaning for me. I know that's not who I am. I do not need to express them. I do not need to feel them. They're just nothing. Other times I'll see a thought, I'll feel it for a moment, and then I'll realize it's nothing, and I'm able to let it go. And then other times I'll see a thought, I'll express it very quickly, But then, like I said, often what happens right after it's expressed is the thought, that's not true. There's like a seeing, you know, that was just listening to the script, believing the script, but it's not true, it's not who I am. And then I'm sure there's still some believing going on, although that would be a little less conscious. But it seems like it's helpful for us to realize that all of these ideas about who I am, what I need, what I value, what I desire, what I fear, that's all false crap. And when I believe that false crap, then I am believing I am the character instead of moving into realization of my true self. As I move into realization of my true self, I see more and more and more of those thoughts as not true, nothing, meaningless. And then I have no need to express it in any way or even to experience the emotion of it. It doesn't even have enough effect for me to experience the emotion of it. It's just nothing. It doesn't stick. It's not true. Why should a not true idea stick? So again, number 107, the person is the character. Words are script. If there is belief that I am the person, there is engagement in the script, in the word thoughts. And there is attachment to expressing the character as if it is real, as if it is who I am and what must be lived. You know, one of the thoughts that just came to me is sometimes people call this speaking my truth. Right? I have to speak my truth. And my truth is, you know, you just can't wear shoes in my house. But it's funny how we call that speaking my truth when it's not my truth. It's a false idea of who I am. It's my illusion. I'm speaking my illusion is what I'm doing. Again, the person is the character. Words are script. If there is belief that I am the person, there is engagement in the script, in the word thoughts. And there is attachment to expressing the character as if it is real, as if it is who I am and what must be lived. When I see I am not the person, there is no attachment to the script. There is no urge to express it. It is seen as unreal and not important. Isn't that beautiful? I think it is. All right, let's scroll down to just above the gray area on the left. You'll see 108. You can click on 108, and I will post the link in the room as well for newcomers. There's the link to 108. But before reading that, I'm going to go to the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, and read quote number 108 in the book, which is Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Words and questions come from the mind and hold you there. To go beyond the mind, you must be silent and quiet. Peace and silence. Silence and peace. This is the way beyond. Stop asking questions. Now again, I'm not by any stretch of the imagination an expert on Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, but I have seen a YouTube. See how much I know? I've seen a YouTube of him. And I've read a bit of I Am That. And so from my very limited experience with him, it appears that people were constantly firing questions at him. Constantly firing questions. And he would give answers for a time. There's a lot of incredible answers in I Am That, at least the little bit that I've read. But there also came a time when he just pointed out that this questioning is going to get you nowhere. Because he saw that those who were doing this intense questioning were really trying to get there with the mind. Like if they could just understand what Sri Nisargadatta means when he says, I am not in your world. If they could just get an understanding of what that meant, then they would see like him. And of course, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj knew that, first of all, mental understanding could never be. You can never mentally understand what Sri Nisargadatta means when he says, I am not in your world. But secondly, whatever imaginary mental understanding you do come up with, that's just not it. That's not the experience. So, in addition to answering questions, he would also occasionally point out that with the questioning, you're trying to stay in the mind, and as long as you try to stay in the mind, you're not going to have the experience. That, you know, you really need to be willing to let go of all of that. And that appears to be the gist of 108. Again, he says, words and questions come from the mind and hold you there. To go beyond the mind, you must be silent and quiet. Peace and silence. Silence and peace. That is the way beyond. Stop asking questions. All right, if we look at number 108 in the journal, I wrote, when it is seen that all word thoughts, mental images, emotion manifestations and perceptions are mind script, and it is seen that the character is false, not my reality, it is also seen that engagement with word thoughts, mental images, emotion manifestations, and perceptions keep the I sense tied to the character. To release I sense from the false character, disengagement is required. Disengagement from word thoughts, from mental images, from emotion manifestations, and from perceptions. The practice given for disengagement is this. Number one, investigation. Find the silence investigation points to and stay present in that quiet unknowing. Now again, investigation here is not the metaphysical questioning that was occurring with Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. Investigation here is the type of inquiry where you look at the beliefs and assumptions that you thought were facts, that you've always held to as facts. You look at them and you begin to really investigate, is this a fact? Can I confirm that this is an absolute fact? Or when I really look at it, do I see it's an assumption? Or it's something that I learned and just believed? Or it's something that I interpreted and just believed? And if you are following investigation, forgive the term, correctly, it does just bring you to a stopping point, which is this quiet that he's talking to, this, or the silence that I'm talking about here. It brings you to a stopping point because you see, you know, the idea I was born is just an assumption, or it's just a belief I learned from my mother. The idea that I am woman is a perception or an experience, but there is reasonable cause for doubt there. When you follow investigation correctly, you find there's reasonable cause for doubt that that is true, that that is a fact. And every time you get to this reasonable doubt, or you get to this clear seeing that it's an assumption or a learned belief, then the questioning stops. You're like at the end of that inquiry, and what you find is silence. The second practice given for disengagement from the mind is contemplation. Rest and allow the peaceful presence of devotion heart. Sit in awareness with it. When I am in contemplation, I am not engaged in heavy thinking. I'm trying to figure out how to describe the experience of contemplation. It would be a lie to say there's no thought, because there is thought. But it's a contemplative thought, not a heavy thinking thought. I don't know how to describe that, but I suppose if you know the experience, you know what I'm talking about. It's a deepening. It has a restfulness to it. And it almost seems as if I'm being guided to it, or it is being given to me rather than I'm thinking it. Yeah, Maria is describing it as it just flows in and out. There's an allowing. So contemplation is the second practice. Rest and allow. Notice the word allow there, Marie. Rest and allow the peaceful presence of devotion heart. Sit in awareness with it. Yeah, and it certainly comes of itself. It's not a thinking. There are thoughts, but it's not a thinking. There's a difference. The third practice given for disengagement is this, present moment choice, which also in the journal is often called remembrance. Present moment choice, which is to choose disengagement and quiet, stillness, and peace. So that means if I catch myself in conversation telling lies, not the kind of lies that normally people talk about, like, you know, those kind of lies, but telling lies because I'm talking about Regina as if that's who I am, that kind of lie. You know, when I speak about myself as Regina, I tell a lie because that's not who I am, right? So when I start noticing that I'm telling lies, I choose to stop. I choose to back out of the conversation. I choose to return to the heart. I choose to remind myself of stillness, go back to stillness. Yeah, fiction, that kind of a lie. Somebody told me, I don't know where this is, somebody told me that Jesus said, I don't know which book, but somebody told me that Jesus said, whenever I speak of myself, I tell a lie. That stuck with me, although I don't know where it's written. So present moment choice is noticing what I'm going to call the best choice, or what the Course would call the right-minded choice, or what you might call the intuitive choice or the guided choice is for how I am to be in the moment and choosing to be that. So again, this is to release the I sense from the false character. In order to do that, disengagement from word thoughts and from mental images, from emotion manifestations, and from perceptions is required. Because if you stay engaged, you stay believing you're the character. The practice given for disengagement is, number one, investigation or inquiry. Find the silence investigation points to and stay present in that quiet unknowing. Number two, contemplation. Rest and allow the peaceful presence of devotion heart. Sit in awareness with it. And number three, present moment choice. Choose disengagement and quiet, stillness and peace. All right, let's scroll down to just above the dark gray area to the left and click on number 109. And of course, I'm going to read number 109 in the Seven Steps to Awakening first. And we are still at Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. And he said, "The words are most appropriate, but you do not grasp their full import. Go deep into the meaning of the words. Being, living, conscious, and you will stop running in circles, asking questions, but missing answers. It appears to me when I read this that, again, he seemed to have people around him who are constantly asking questions, trying to tackle and achieve his seeing with intellectual understanding. And instead of that constant asking of questions and that constant attempt to tackle his seeing with the mind, it appears to me, in number 109, he's recommending instead this practice of contemplation. So, you know, some people might say, why would Sri Nisargadatta give answers to these people if he knew that they were just trying to tackle with the mind and that was never going to work? Why didn't he just lock his door and not let them into his house? And I don't know the answer. I'm going to make up an answer, though. Because probably he knew there were some who were listening in contemplation. So the words, the same words that were not helpful to some because they were trying to tackle them with intellectual understanding, were incredibly helpful to others because they were listening in contemplation. Again, number 109 in the book, the words are most appropriate, but you do not grasp their full import. Go deep into the meaning of the words. Being, living, conscious. And you will stop running in circles, asking questions, but missing answers. All right, let's look at the journal, number 109. I wrote, contemplation is better than asking questions and trying to understand. Mental attempts to understand, all that thinking, hide the present obvious answer. Contemplation is not thinking or trying to understand. Oh, here's a good description of contemplation. Contemplation is silent diving into the restful, devotional, open heart of the words and their being. Just being in the state of contemplation without seeking to understand or get answers. It's funny that I said a moment ago I didn't know how to describe contemplation, because as far as I can tell, this is a perfect description. I'm posting it in the room just in case anybody is not at the link with us. You might want to look at those words, contemplate them, if you don't feel that you're certain what contemplation is. It's a perfect description as far as I can tell. Contemplation is not thinking or trying to understand. Contemplation is silent diving into the restful, devotional, open heart of the words and their being. Just being in the state of contemplation without seeking to understand or get answers. You know, so we have A Course in Miracles, we have NTI, we have the teachings of Inner Ramana, we have the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, we have the teachings of Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj, we have over 1,500 quotes, I think it's closer to 1,000, well, I don't know, I think it's over 1,500 quotes in the Seven Steps to Awakening, all there for our contemplation, not our mental tackling. Those same words could be helpful or not, depending on how we approach those words. All right, let's scroll down. And to the left, above the dark gray area, you can click on number 110, not 1010, just 110. And I am going to paste this link in the room. Okay, in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening. Oh yeah, Maria is saying, contemplation goes nicely with my salvation comes from me, which of course is a course lesson that we did recently. All right, number 1010 in the Seven Steps to Awakening, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj. You need not know all the why and how. There is no end to questions. Yeah, and of course, Om Vadi is saying, all these beautiful texts are like a finger pointing to truth. We get stuck looking at the finger instead of the truth being pointed to. Sri Nisargadatta says, you need not know all the why and how. There is no end to questions. Let's go look at the journal, number 110. Questions and trying to understand exercise the mind. Mental exercise isn't needed now. The opposite is needed now. Let go of all desire to understand anything and be. There comes a point that we understand that. We're not here to strengthen that thinking mind. We're not here to strengthen that. We're here to move in the opposite direction of strengthening it. We're here to move in the direction of letting it unwind, of letting it slow down, becoming detached from it, being totally disengaged from it, and letting it die. So if that's really our purpose, and if we say we want to awaken, then it is. Well, then it does not benefit us to exercise the mind, to keep trying to use it to conquer understanding, because that just keeps it strong and keeps us very attached to it and very engaged with it. So number 110, questions and trying to understand exercise the mind. Mental exercise isn't needed now. The opposite is needed now. Let go of all desire to understand anything and be. All right, let's scroll down again, just above the dark gray area. On the left, you'll see a number 111, and you can click on that. And here is the link for the room. Number 11 in the book, The Seven Steps to Awakening, Sri Nisargadatta Maharaj said, knowledge by the mind is not true knowledge. Very short and simple statement. Knowledge by the mind is not true knowledge. All right, so let's look at the journal. The mind tells us that what it knows, what it feels satisfied with as I know, is knowledge. This is not true. The mind's satisfied sense of I know is only strong false self-identity, which means it is the opposite of knowledge. Let go of all desire to have the sense of I know satisfied. Look carefully and let go of all desire to have the sense of I know satisfied. One thing that was interesting to me is that second sentence was repeated. And again, this is my own inner realization after contemplation. But it felt necessary to repeat that. Let go of all desire to have the sense of I know satisfied. Look carefully and let go of all desire to have the sense of I know satisfied. I certainly remember in the local course group, which I'm not attending now, but I was last year and the year before, reading, some paragraph in the course and feeling that I know what that means. And sharing what I know that means. As I was contemplating number 111, I realized that that this was a weakness of mine, being the one who knows. And so that's certainly why I felt to repeat that last sentence twice. Let go of all desire to have the sense of I know satisfied. Look carefully, pay attention, and let go of all desire to have the sense of I know satisfied. You know, do I know what's going on between Israel and Iran right now? The interesting thing is, you know, I certainly read up on it. I watch it to some degree. I mean, I'm not obsessive about it, but I watch it to some degree because, you know, we're going to Israel very soon. And so I, you know, read articles every now and then just to kind of keep my eye on it. And I notice the mind wanting to form an opinion. I can see it. And I just let that go. Because the opinion is totally irrelevant. But at another time, earlier, if it hadn't been before the seven steps, I might have even written to people in the group and said, here's what I think's going on, and here's what I think's going to happen. I would have not only formed the opinion, but I would have felt, based on my reading, that I know. And I would have shared that. The truth is, no one knows. Not even those most involved. And instead, you know, I'm noticing Barb is writing trust. She's going to Israel with me. What I trust most of all is my own inner intuition, which doesn't come from the I know. It's completely independent of the I know. It's completely independent of what's written in the articles. And the intuition right now is showing, is only showing a go forward. It's the only thing I see. As far as I can tell, everyone else on the trip seems to have the same intuition. You know, nobody's foolish here. Everybody knows what's going on in the world. But the intuition still has a go forward, so we're going forward. If the intuition changes, we'll change. We're not going to be stupid. But the intuition is going forward, and we're going forward. We're buying sandals, aren't we, Barb? And we're buying blouses, aren't we, Fran? We're getting ready to go. But there is a difference between following the intuition and doing the research and forming opinion and then saying, I know. Again, if I was to, yeah, Barb says she bought her Tevas, that's the sandals. If I was to look at myself, I would say this is something I'm definitely doing better on. You know, what I find is some of these practices are easier for me to adopt right away, and some of these practices seem to be taking a little more time for the habits to change. I feel like my reliance on I know is definitely, definitely, definitely going down, 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 and intuition is becoming so strong that it's amazing even me. And you guys know I've followed guidance for some time, but it's amazing even me. We don't need the I know at all. I like that. I? ! Another way of looking at I know. All right, what I do know something. I know that according to my computer clock, it is 6 p.m., and that's when I'm supposed to stop. So I will stop here, and I will begin tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Time with number 112. And, of course, these will be posted on Twitter and Facebook and reginadonacres.com for your listening pleasure. And good night, everyone.